Ready to find your next favorite podcast? Start here.
That's why I want to look closely at dating fatigue, that wall we can hit when we feel like dating or looking to date has become a job. When the idea of opening a dating app on your phone makes you want to flush that phone right down the toilet.
The streets of Paris on September 3rd, 1792 were chaos and anarchy. Reeking of blood and sweat and spit, thousands of starving people and desperate bodies pressed together.
People don't know, it's because really PACs typically don't donate to a campaign. They purchase media or other get out the vote or things like that on behalf of.
On the way, love letters, noble blood, and unstoppable talk. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Each week, we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here blast email at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us in Apple Podcasts. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. With special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and curation, writing, and producing from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. Starting off this week's episode is the perfect podcast for all you romantics out there, hopeless and hopeful alike. From PRX and the Boston Globe comes Love Letters, a podcast about intimacy, dating, and all the complex and difficult issues that make love what it is. Each season of the Love Letters podcast, Boston Globe advice columnist Meredith Goldstein poses a single burning question about love and relationships and attempts to answer it through rich stories, interviews, and confessions from her own life. Season 1 explored how to get over a breakup, and in Season 2, Meredith tackles perhaps the most important question related to love: how do you meet someone? It's no surprise that a question like that takes a whole season to answer. Here's a sample from the first episode of the second season. The episode starts with addressing fatigue, endless swiping on dates, and how to make sure dating doesn't feel like work. In this clip, you'll hear from Erin, a mid-40s professional woman who just never met the right person.
I should disclose at the outset, I am not a very good dater. It's so much easier to give love advice from my couch to people who are far braver than me, far more ambitious about going out into the world and looking for a partner. I really give them a ton of credit because it's not easy. Courtship isn't what it looks like in the movies, and most people just don't want to swipe forever. That's why I want to look closely at dating fatigue. That wall we can hit when we feel like dating or looking to date has become a job. When the idea of opening a dating app on your phone makes you want to flush that phone right down the toilet. When dates get so exhausting that your best hope is that one gets canceled. This seems like a good moment to introduce you to Erin.
I'm 44, never been married, I have no children, single professional lady. I work as a senior proposal coordinator for a sustainability company outside the city of Boston.
Likes and dislikes.
Live music, anywhere from metal to disco. I love art. I love movies, especially horror movies. I love cats, which is just, after 43, I just decided to fully embrace my love for cats and stop worrying about becoming a cat lady because I feel like that's something to aspire to at this point in my life.
I met Erin at an event for my column. She introduced herself to me as a reader, and she seemed really cool. Shortly after that, she wrote me a letter. It said, "Hi, Meredith. I talked to you at the Harpoon event a few weeks back. I wanted to ask a question, but knew I would burst into tears, and I try not to cry in public, especially at a brewery. I'm a 44-year-old woman and think I have finally given up meeting a man to be a long-term partner. I've tried it all and for years, online dating, being fixed up, speed dating, volunteering, co-ed sports, etc. Question is, what do you do when you haven't totally given up? Signed, Unwilling Spinster." I wrote Erin back and asked if she'd tell me more. She seemed like a prime example of all of this exhaustion and hopelessness I hear about so often. I wanted to get a sense of why Erin was so burnt out and how she might overcome those feelings so she can meet somebody. I was psyched because she was willing to share. When we had our first conversation, she gave me the lowdown over pad thai.
My parents have been married for 53 years. They met in their 20s at a wedding in outside Boston. And it was kind of, that's what you did back then. You meet someone and you get married. And so I just assumed, well, I'll meet someone and get married. But, you know, I finished college and I had a long-term boyfriend and I think we could have gotten married, but I just knew I had a lot of growing and living to do. So we broke up and that was my late 20s. So I assumed, oh, okay, I'll go out and date and meet people and eventually I'll meet someone that I'll probably marry because that's what happens. But it just never happened.
A sample from Love Letters with Meredith Goldstein. You'll hear all the episodes from seasons 1 and 2 now on WVXU's Podcast Central. And be sure to stay tuned for season 3, which tackles the equally difficult question, how do you know if your significant other is the one? For answers to that question and more, check out Love Letters. Though kings and queens today are mostly figureheads and monarchies are a thing of the past, the world and royalty have had complicated and bloody relationships. Much of the world's history has been shaped by the lives of royal families, and in more ways than you might imagine. You can discover the complex history of some of the world's most prominent nobility on this week's featured new podcast, Noble Blood. Brought to you by iHeartRadio's podcast team, Noble Blood explores the stories of some of history's most fascinating royals, the tyrants and the victims, the murderers and the murdered, and everyone in between. The world is full of ill-fated love affairs, bad decisions, and family dramas, but for a monarch, the personal determines the fate of nations. And when you're wearing a crown, mistakes tend to mean blood. Check out this sample from the first episode of Noble Blood titled The Second Death of Marie Antoinette. In the episode, The episode explores the tumultuous anarchy of the French Revolution and the final desperate months of a woman who had become synonymous with excess and indulgence, Marie Antoinette. Listener discretion advised her.
The streets of Paris on September 3rd, 1792, were chaos and anarchy, reeking of blood and sweat and spit. Thousands of starving people and desperate bodies pressed together. Overnight, hasty tribunals were built outside prisons for aristocrats to be swept through one at a time, pulled from their cells in the middle of the night to stand trial before a teeming crowd. These trials would go on until sunrise. Marie Antoinette, her husband, Louis XVI, and their children were still not technically imprisoned yet. They lived in a fortress palace called the Temple, under something close to house arrest, forced to wait their days staring at walls, listening to the mocking, monotonous chants of the guards and the cries for blood from the street. One of Marie Antoinette's favorite ladies-in-waiting, the Princesse de Lamballe, was brought into the courtyard. The Tribunal of Revolutionaries asked the Princesse de Lamballe to take an oath, swearing her love of liberty and her hatred of the queen. "I can swear readily to the former," the princess said, "but not to the latter. It is not in my heart." Those with sympathetic hearts looked upon the princess with horror. Some whispered to her, begging her to take the oath and save her own life. The Princess de Lamballe shook her head. The leader of the tribunal brought his hand down and shouted. The princess was thrown to the crowd. Her body was torn apart, stabbed, and beaten. Those with knives cut pieces of her flesh to keep as souvenirs. Her head, they stuck on a pike to parade through the city. And so, from café to café, the princess's lifeless head was placed before patrons who were told to drink in celebration of the death of traitors.
New to the Podcast Central collection, Noble Blood with host Dana Schwartz. You can hear some of the captivating stories of greed, fear, bravery, and more from ruling families of years gone by on the new podcast, Noble Blood. This week's local feature is great for business owners and tech lovers alike. Hosted by Unstoppable Software CEO Sam Schutte, Unstoppable Talk is a podcast focused on business and tech innovators in Cincinnati and beyond. Each episode, Sam sits down with some of these leaders to discuss the trends they're seeing in their organizations, how they've applied cutting-edge technologies to their business problems, and what they see on the horizon. From church leaders to business coaches to software developers, Unstoppable Talk is full of helpful insights into the many fields from the mouths of prominent leaders in those fields. And with the help of Unstoppable Talk, your business will be unstoppable. Here's a sample for you, a clip from a recent episode of Unstoppable Talk featuring Milwaukee-based entrepreneur Mike O'Donnell. Mike spent many years helping political campaigns, political action committees, and conduits report their data, make decisions, and effectively manage political contributions. In this clip, he joins the show to talk about how data and AI will impact polling, voter outreach, and contribution drives, among many other aspects of the upcoming 2020 presidential election.
So when it comes to PACs, political action committees, and their reporting, you know, one of the aspects of those that is sort of unique and maybe somewhat sometimes controversial is sort of not knowing exactly who plays into it. So I imagine when it comes to, you know, some of the reporting and stuff that you have to do, I mean, do you get demands from folks saying, hey, we need to know who contributed? Or, you know, is that something you have to sort of battle and be involved in? Or is that something they sort of pull out through your tools and sort of like, what are they? I mean, there's compliance with just the legal rules they have to follow, but then there's other things that obviously there's people trying to uncover who's involved with, you know, this stuff. I mean, how does that affect sort of the privacy that you guys have to deal with and the reporting you have to sort of supply?
Right. So you said it best where you said the tools. I mentioned one of our major advisors is an attorney in the campaign finance world. He right away said, I like when you call it a tool because you don't want to be a campaign finance expert and you don't mm-hmm. want to do filings for people. Okay. Let them do that. You know, let them file it. Yeah. You give them the data and the tool to export and import. And then later on became, you know, APIs and things of that nature. But really at the end of the day, we wanted to provide a tool that they can get customized data to fit the data pockets into their regulatory body, whether it be state, federal, and or whatnot. So for us, yeah, I'm sure people would want us to give the data, but we had a strict policy from day one that, you know, that's all we are is a tool. So if you had an authorized account, you could do what you want with that data. Even in between to where once it was campaigns where they said, hey, campaign A wanted to share their data with campaign B. So it's like, what's good for mm-hmm. the whole group? I would say that's fine, but you can do that. So we always stayed yeah. with, you know, good fences make good neighbors policy from a data standpoint. And it also gave them a little bit more of the driver's seat. How it's reported, PACs, like you said, people don't know. It's because really PACs typically don't donate to a campaign. They purchase media or other get out the vote or things like that on behalf of. So they might do, mm-hmm. you know, negative advertising against a campaign. And then it always says at the bottom, paid for by ABC PAC or, you know, type of thing. To where conduits, that's where the control was. You are able to see a lot much more transparent who the donors were. So that's why they were able to donate to a campaign versus on behalf of them messaging and things of that nature. So that was exciting because from a data perspective, again, we were able to create some really great communication and reporting tools that facilitated that transparency.
Our local podcast, Unstoppable Talk with Sam Schutte. Learn more about the intersection of technology and business, where it's headed, with the help of Unstoppable Talk podcast. Available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. To the charts we go. Our regular look at the Apple Podcast charts via iTunesCharts.net to see what's rocking the podcast world. Sign above his hospital bed called him 66 Garage. And for more than 15 years, he'd lay there unidentified and unconscious, or so everyone believed. A story about the search for a man's identity and the truth about his accident, all a result of a two-year investigative journey that reveals who Garage really is. But also the important question, had he been conscious the entire time? That's Room 20, now number one in the Apple Podcast charts. To learn more about Room 20 and others, check out the Start Here email. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and choose the Start Here newsletter from the bottom of the page. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more information about podcasts we like, check out Podcast Central at wvxu.org. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@wvxu.org or call us at 513-294-8030, and we'll add your voice to ours. For now, I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.